What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, December 2nd, 2021. It is the Beating the Book podcast, Megabot, week number 13 in the National Football League. I cannot believe it is December. Cannot believe it is week 13. It's Gil Alexander. As always, staples of the show alongside to my left here live at the D where we always do our Megapods. It is the Vice President of Operations at Circus Sports, Derek Stevens, Consigliere, co-host of Odds On at VSiN, Michael Palmieri. Good morning to you.
Mike Palmieri runs the Dairy Queen in Niagara Falls.
Oh, does he?
He's one of VSiN's very loyal subscribers.
Oh, that's Mike Palmieri.
Yeah.
Mike Palmieri. That's why I went Palmieri instead of Palmetto. I couldn't decide.
Good morning.
Yeah, we have time for this. Go ahead.
And that's Todd Wishnev, everybody, from his mom's Cork Attic. And we're told that his mom is not home, and she didn't put anybody else in charge of the house. This is Mikey's
job. She must have stopped the papers.
My mommy said I could do whatever I want.
Did she put a hold on the Pittsburgh Gazette?
It's the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We don't get that. Sorry.
She put a hold on the Gazette. This is great. Todd Wishnev, everybody. Todd, how you doing, man?
Well, Gilly, why don't you tell everybody why we're going to have to go fast because of your beautiful job.
Well, so here's what I did. I'm not a bright individual, in case you were wondering. So I'm always dealing with time zones, and I have 75 shows I do a week, and I sleep when I'm not doing a show, so I'm a little scattered. So I told Bob, because he's in the mountain time zone, but instead of just writing, hey, 10:30, like a jackass, I wrote 10:30 Pacific because I shut my brain off. So he thought it was an hour from now. And so now he's trying to figure out the Skype. And so it's all my fault. Are you happy?
You might have too many irons in a fire.
Maybe a few.
No, but explain to them that we're going to have to run through quickly because we spent half an hour trying to fix the tech.
Well, we're not going to run through quickly. We're going to do our normal Survivor thing. When Bob joins us, he joins us, if he joins us. So we'll start with...
No, but you said we have to do the whole show faster because Mikey has to leave.
Listen, I'll give my picks and leave, and then you guys can continue on.
Yeah. Okay, I don't think it'll be that. I don't think it'll be much faster. Maybe if you let us start.
But I like to skip. I like to listen to the beginning of Odds On. It's one of the greatest shows on radio. I don't want to miss that.
Second best PM show.
Mike, let me just say this: Mike Palm takes some Twitter polls seriously, doesn't he?
Hey, I could have been the first 4-time Mitchie winner.
Wow!
Before Mitchie.
All right. So Circus Survivor is phenomenal. 28 entries left out of 4,080. 26 different people, best we can tell, with 28 different entries. Two people have
I believe
two.
I took the under 70 a couple weeks ago.
We all took the under at the end. But
no, before you guys.
Okay, you won.
I did. Listen to the video.
All right, great. I will check the tape. $214,000 plus intrinsic value of the remaining 28 entries. This is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Here's what's interesting, Gil, and you've broken it down better than I ever could on your show. But let's get into this week. Like this week, who are the big favorites? Well, the biggest favorite's the Rams. Nobody has them left.
Nobody.
Right?
The,
nope.
The two people who had Seattle, who took Seattle this last week, were the last two people who had the Rams.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Now. One of whom had New England and didn't choose them.
Now, another big favorite, Indianapolis. The only one left. And remember, they're a Christmas game.
That person has to take Indianapolis this week, I think.
I think so as well.
Yeah.
Eight with KC, seven with Tampa Bay. Remember, they factor into the bonuses. But I don't think you can consider. Do you consider the bonus at this point?
I couldn't.
Yeah.
No.
And I think you're crazy if you do. But, you know, one of the two people with the two entries has Kansas City available on one and Tampa Bay on the other. So they're the real test. Will they do that, or will they go Philadelphia on both,
which
could be the neutron bomb this week?
It could be. Remember, Philly was the biggest knockout punch against the Giants, and Todd was right about that.
Yeah,
he called that game correctly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mikey.
I think people will use 10 with Minnesota. They're at Detroit. Detroit's played like every other game horrifically, and this they're due for this one.
Yeah.
Arizona, 17 people have them. They're an 8-point favorite at the Bears, but then they're
Christmas.
Against the Colts on Christmas.
Yeah.
There's one entry that has – there's one person that has two entries. He has both San Francisco and Tennessee. If he gets to Christmas, does he do the double option to survive?
At that point, you
I
might.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
But we'll see when we get there.
Are we even getting there?
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
Todd, here's a question for you. Yes or no, will there be someone go 20-0? Yes or no?
I would probably go with no.
Yeah, I would.
I don't think they're going to.
It's still too far away.
Yep.
This one is so much different than last year. Last year when there was 1,300 plus, and I got to December last year, and I lost with a 17-point favorite Rams at home against the Jets. That literally, the next 3 weeks.
You should have been out against the Raiders.
True. That literally, I would the next 3 weeks, I would have won too. So it was literally the only one I ended up losing. This year, I lost on Buffalo and Jacksonville. I'd have lost three times since then, right? Like this is the fact that these 28 are still alive. These 26 people with 28 is incredible, and
one of them is your friend Joe Pita.
That's correct. Yep. Joe Pita is one of them. Yep. Yes, and I would imagine, and Crack and I got into this a little bit on a numbers game. Do these folks start hedging away? Is it too long of a runway still to hedge away?
Did you listen to Derek at all on Nightcap about chopping and how the chop is impossible?
Oh, so this is – I'm glad we brought this up. Because what you said the other week might have confused
Can you summarize
people.
What he said so that we know what
Let's first get what I said, that if people wanted to share information, they could let Jeff Benson know that.
Yes.
Which is a little different than what Joe said, Jeff Benson reach out and give a proposition to everyone.
Did Joe say that? Reach out?
He wanted to have Jeff Benson query the remaining entries if they were interested in doing this chop. Not give him the other 39 people's information, which is different, right? But Derek then said to me, it can't happen, and here's why. Because, well, one, we're going to pay out, however, like a poker tournament, and then your deal is your deal. But here's the other thing. Everybody lives in different states with different taxes.
Yeah.
And then the gift tax is the big thing. You know that if I give you more than $15,000 in a given
taxed.
Year, the giver gets taxed.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
So if one guy would have won it and said, I'm going to give everybody else $1.5 million, let's just say they wanted to do a 40-way chop. The guy gets six million, and then he's going to get taxed on $5.8 million.
Yeah,
I mean, so
you're 100% right. You guys, by the way, as long as there's two people that have two entries, there's not going to be a chop anyway. But I do think that what you said the other week on the Megapod could have been misconstrued.
I think so too. Maybe I wasn't clear.
Yeah.
But
I think everybody's fine with what you're saying now. I don't think anybody doesn't understand that. By the way, the great Dr. Bob is here. Is that right, Bob Stoll? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here finally.
Bob, I apologize for my time zone deficiencies. My fault for writing the word Pacific. My brain was shut off. We're happy to have you.
Oh, I'm frustrated as hell, Gil. But I'm gonna handicap angry now. Maybe that will work.
Hey, angry handicapping coming. We're just finishing our Survivor discussion. So there's 20 by the way, Bob, there's 28 entries left in circa $6 million. Survivor, which started with 4,080 entries.
Yeah.
28 left. Wow.
And last year, we started with 1,390 and ended with 35, made it all the way through
35.
The year.
I always wondered how many.
There's an extra week, and then there's the extra Christmas, obviously, this year. So.
And we have 28 now with 4,080 as a start. Going to be awesome. And circa million?
There's the leader is 1-4 and still has a game and a half lead because the consensus was 1-4.
Right.
And if you think the Vikings, they were the sixth most popular pick. The top six picks were 1-5.
Yeah, I know somebody went 2-3. It was like I picked up a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
43-17.
I went 4-1 last week.
What is your record, Todd?
I believe I'm 33-27.
43-17 leads it. There's two people at 41, 18-1, and then another 10 people at 41-19. And then at the bottom, it's like 19-41 is the lowest score so far for the booby prize for the year. This is the final week of quarter three.
Yes.
There's one player 14-1, and there's 12 players, I believe, 12 or 14 that are 13-2. And on the bottom end, it's the mirror. There's one player 1-14 and 12 or 4, whatever that number is, that are 2-13.
Yeah, I might know that person too.
Really?
Uh-huh. Ooh. Okay, Bob, did you do any Survivor or your loser pools, or what did you do this year, Bob?
Yeah, you know what? I started doing Survivor about 8 years ago, and the pool had about 300 people in it at the time. I won the first year. I don't know, piece of cake. 2 years later, I won again, which is almost impossible, and the pool was like 350 people then. And then I've been hitting a dry spell ever since. Normally, I get to about week 14 or 15. I have two entries. This week, I crapped out early. But I have a friend that's in, and he seeks my advice. And he was going between Dallas and Baltimore last week, and our angle was don't do Dallas just for game theory purposes.
Right. Yeah.
Because a lot of people are on Dallas. So he said, let's do Baltimore. And so I'm like, thank God Dallas lost, because if Dallas would have won and Baltimore would have lost after giving him that advice, I'd have owed him a lot. But he's still alive and seeking my advice again this week. So we'll see. We're looking at Minnesota as a possibility for him. But I've been out a long time this year.
I did a whole thing on a numbers game. That got I guess like 7,000 views about how I did a thought exercise with Jeff Parles, my producer. And I was like, if 133 people took Dallas, and Jeff was on record as saying, I hate the Raiders today. And I said, if you knew 133 were going to take Dallas, by the way, the point of that was you could estimate that about 80 would, even before the numbers came out, that it was 80. He said, nope, I still wouldn't take the Raiders. And I'm like, this is the problem with people playing Survivor. They don't get the game theory.
There was 82 that could have taken Dallas. 80 did.
80 did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could estimate it. Yep. Yeah. All right, we are on a shorter time because of my error, and Mike's got odds on to do with Amal Shaw. Amal will hopefully be the guest next week.
And our regular weekly guest, Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports, is actually going to be in studio because he's in Vegas.
Okay,
so we're
sweet.
Big show today.
All right,
Gil, I'm gonna take my normal allotted amount of time to do my full detailed analysis. So,
just to warn us, okay. Okay, well, let's start real quick, Todd, with how we did last week.
Everybody went 2-1, so the standings stay the same as far as games back. Gilly, half a game back from Mikey, is at 17-19. Mikey's at 17-18-1, and I am just a game and a half back at 16-20. On the teaser side, there were two losers. Those two people are sitting in Bar Canada. Gil and Mikey are their names. They both thought Dallas was going to win with the teaser, and I survived with the teaser of the Pats in Miami. You guys still don't believe in the Pats. I have 41-1 to win the Super Bowl, 32-1 to win the Super Bowl. Gilly tells me, who have they beaten? They've beaten the teams that have been placed in front of them. So be careful, folks. Bill Belichick has it rolled.
Combined record of New England's beaten opponents, 38-53. For those of you scoring.
Okay. Is Buffalo's worse? It's
Buffalo's
pretty bad.
Combined record of those teams they've beaten, 31-47.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear you screaming about Buffalo's thinking.
Well, I don't have a bet. My only two futures are on the Titans and on the Colts. Those are my only two futures.
But you do agree the Patriots are going to be in the playoffs, and if at anything, it's going to be hedgeable.
They'll be in the playoffs. Sure. They'll be in the playoffs. Absolutely. This will be a very interesting Monday night game where I think they have the advantage, but we'll get into that. Any Thursday night thoughts? Cowboys and Saints, we learned this morning officially, Alvin Kamara is out for the Saints, as are their two linemen. Armstead and Ramechek is out, so they are depleted. I think we're getting a Taysom Hill start today. Amari Cooper is with the Cowboys off the COVID list. Bob, any play on this game? I got in on the Cowboys last night, -5 at 6 everywhere. At least upon my arrival.
Six and a half now.
Yeah. I lean with Dallas now after the injury adjustments. The injury adjustments ended up being close to about a point and a half. Pretty big adjustment. And I think the true line should be Dallas by 8 or so. So I think there's pretty good value on Dallas, but I didn't bet it.
Didn't bet it, though. You guys?
Nope.
I'm going to tease them once again. I'm going to tease Dallas, just like last week, you know.
I can't blame you.
Dog returns to its vomit, the pig returns to her mire, and the burnt fool's bandaged finger goes wobbling back to the fire.
Wow, what just happened?
I love Kipling. Oh. Rudyard. Great Rudyard. Imperialist.
Rudyard.
Great
course, imperialist. My mom used to say, Rudyard Kipling.
Rudyard.
This is why I never miss a minute of Odds On daily.
That kind of thing. Todd, any thoughts on tonight's game?
I hate this game. I'll be betting it in game as usual. I just don't like it, and I hate this game.
Yeah, I'm on the Cowboys again, -5. Got that last night before the move here. Hopefully that works out. All right, so let us begin with best bets. Bob, we start with you. You're first for Week 13, sir.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's not that I don't believe in New England. I just like Buffalo here. My numbers like Buffalo, even if you use New England's improved defense since they've switched the zone, more zone than man-to-man 6 games ago, and they've won all 6. They've been a little fortunate in this one. Against the Chargers, they were out, gained by 1.7 yards per play and won that one. In Week 9, they only had 273 total yards and got 10 of their points on Sam Darnold interceptions. That would have been a closer game. They caught the Falcons on a short week Thursday night game with a rookie head coach that had never prepared for a Thursday game, and the Falcons were out without their three of their top 4 receivers. I mean, they beat the crap out of them. So I'm saying there's been a little bit of luck. And then last week, Titans were out, didn't have Henry and their top 2 receivers. So yeah, they did play better than they should have, even after adjusting for all that stuff. But now they take on Buffalo. Buffalo, they didn't have Tremaine Edmonds last week, the linebacker, and they gave up a lot of running yards. That was against Indianapolis. They gave up 264 yards to Indianapolis. But when Edmonds has been in the game, he's got a really high stop rate, over 10%. When he's played this year, Buffalo's only allowing 3.6 yards per carry. So I think they'll be able to stop what New England likes to do, which is run the ball and play ball control. There's going to be high winds Monday night in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I trust Josh Allen's arm over Mac Jones's arm. But I think it's a tough matchup for New England's offense. There's one thing I like here in general. This is something you should listen to. High-scoring teams are relatively better at home, and good defenses are also relatively better at home. When a team averaging 24 points or more is at home from game 7 on, so they've established that they're a good offensive team, and they're facing a team that's allowed less than 18 points per game through 6 games or more, there's been over 400 such games like that. And you know, going back in my database, 59% of the time, the high-scoring home team covers the spread against the good defensive team at home. Hmm. Now, if the line is less than -4, so you're talking about a competitive game, it's 133-77 against the spread. So there's some technical stuff that favors a good offensive team at home against a good defensive team. And my ratings like Buffalo. I think the line should be at least 4 points. So I'm going with the Bills.
Todd, are you Oppo? Is that one of your picks on New England?
No, no. I actually, if I had to bet this game, I would take Buffalo too. I think, you know, I agree with everything that Dr. Bob said. I also think that how many weeks in a row in the NFL can you just continue to put a game after game after game after game with no mistakes, no problems? It's sooner or later, you know, something happens. So I certainly don't want any part of this game, and if I did, I would take Buffalo.
What's interesting is that Bob, that you went with the high winds. So most people, when they say, oh, it's going to be 23 mile per hour winds, they would then, the next thing they would say is, oh, well, New England's running game is better than that of Buffalo, so that would swing them towards New England. But you're not saying that.
No, because Buffalo can stop the run. So can New England. But would you rather have
Josh Allen?
In a game like that, would you rather have Josh Allen scrambling around and getting yards with his feet?
Yeah. All right. So, no, makes sense.
I just think, yeah.
Mikey?
Give me the Raiders.
Oh.
Played at 2.5.
Wow.
Short week for Washington. Travel across the country. No kicker. Raiders get the extra rest off playing off Thanksgiving. And look, Washington goes Cowboys, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, Giants. Everything else is in their division. It's in front of them. If they lose this game, I'll lay the 2.5.
Only thing with this is
so wait, you're saying you need a kicker? Is that what you're saying? In the NFL, you need a kicker?
Could be a factor.
Only thing with this is Waller has been limited in practice, and DeSean Jackson has not been in practice. Or the other way around. Waller has not been in, and DeSean has been limited. So you do have to worry about that. And that's the problem with a lot of these games. Like, you can't do anything until right before kickoff. Bills in New England, I liked Buffalo early, then I liked New England, and now I probably won't even play it.
And the Raiders have gone at least 3 weeks without a disaster happening. I mean, usually every 1 week there's a disaster.
Todd, what's your number one?
My number one pick is, I'm going back to the well, where I always go when I really need a pick. And that is the Jacksonville Jaguars under the 48.
This kid.
Why do you have to shake your head? What's wrong with that? Why? Because of one last week.
This is your Tampa Bay over for this year.
Sometimes you have to just, you know, key in on something. The Jaguars, I believe, are like I think they've only gone over 2 times the whole year. And the reason is it's a really difficult statistical analysis. In teams where NFL games play the game and do not score points, they don't go over. And guess what? They don't score points.
Yeah.
So just look at what happens every week. It's very difficult to go over if you can't score the ball. And against the Rams on the road, Dr. Bob just gave me a great thing where he said that great defensive teams are even better at home. So the Rams will probably – the only way this game goes over is if it's like the Houston game when the Rams were up 38-0 and decided to quit playing and gave them a bunch of back touchdowns. That's the only way this goes over. This game is going under the 48. The Jags score. If they get 7 or 10, you're still going to make it because the Rams will call off the dogs. They're up 30.
And just to clarify, Buffalo's 2.5 and the Raiders are 2.5 in the previous two games that we just talked about?
Yes.
Okay. My first – listen, there's not a lot of thought to this, but I'm just going to give you my guessing lines reaction to the Minnesota Vikings-Detroit Lions line. I don't understand why this is 7. If it's because it's Dalvin Cook out and Alexander Mattison in, that shouldn't be a reason for it to stay at 7. The Lions are not a good football team. There's no DeAndre Swift now, who is a major portion of the offense, of any semblance of offense that they did have. The Vikings have lost all six of their games by a total of 26 points. I know they were in a dogfight with Detroit the first time around where it took a Kirk Cousins miracle to win this. I don't see that happening here. I think this is the game where the Vikings take out all of their frustrations, and I will lay the 7 on the road.
Okay, so you're going with Mikey's man crush, the Kirk Cousins-led Minnesota Vikings. Mikey, how did you feel about Kirk Cousins lining up behind a guy who didn't have the ball to snap to him in a big spot the other day?
The first thing was the receiver being out of position confused him.
Yes.
If he wouldn't have had to move the receiver to the other side of the field, he would have known where the center was, Todd. So it's comparative negligence.
Troy Aikman did that once upon a time, as I recall. Yeah. Bob, number two.
Does anybody give you less?
I'm going to go with Seattle against San Francisco on Sunday night.
Well, what's your pick,
San Francisco,
Bob?
San Francisco's won three games in a row. I had them as a best bet last week against Minnesota, but Deebo Samuel being out is a big deal, and I don't think it's being fully factored in. Samuel is averaging 11.7 yards per target. The rest of the 49ers receivers are all sub-average, averaging 7.6 yards per target as a group. The difference is about 2 points per game, just in the receiving part, and add another half a point for Samuel's running. That's about a 2.5 point adjustment for Samuel. He's such a big part of what that offense does. And without him, I think Garoppolo is going to struggle. Niners have a good ground game, but Seattle's got a good run defense. I think the Niners offense will struggle here. Now, the big question is Russell Wilson. There's been a lot of talk about his finger not being quite right. I think they did bring him back a week early in the first game against Green Bay. When he first came back, he only averaged 3.1 yards per pass play. The next week, he was better. He averaged 6.0 yards per pass play in week 11. Last week, he averaged 7.1 yards per pass play. The finger's getting better. I still dock them a little bit because, you know, I want to see it first. But the last couple games have been right around his season average in, as far as yards per pass play go. The big problem with Seattle this year is that they're not converting on third downs, which is something a little bit rare for Wilson. He's only completed 38% of his passes on third down this year. That would be the worst of any qualified quarterback since Mark Brunell in 2004. Mm. Now, Wilson's career completion percentage on third down is 59%. So there's a lot of randomness in that he's only completed 38% of his third downs this year. I think that's got to be mostly random. I don't think that's going to continue. On a yards per play basis, Seattle's a little bit better than average. But they're bad because they're not completing third downs like they should. I think that will improve. And they also had without Russell Wilson for three games, then he played with a bad finger against Green Bay. But I think they're an average team here. And when the Niners without Samuel and without Warner, who's a good coverage linebacker, and he's got some value, without those guys, I think the Niners are around an average team. I think that Seattle should be favored here. Now you've got Pete Carroll coming off three straight losses, off two straight losses. He's 16-3-1 against the spread. Last week, obviously, was one of those losses, but he's 3-1 against the spread off consecutive losses this year. 3-0 off three or more consecutive losses, covering those games by an average of 15 points. I just think Seattle is so undervalued right now for various reasons, but the Niners, I think, a little overrated now because they've won three in a row, but they're not taking full into account Samuel being out. So I think Seattle should be favored here by at least the home court, at least the home field advantage. So
man,
solid play on Seattle.
Bob, you may have taken me off two games now because I liked New England and I liked San Francisco in this. But the Deebo Samuel point is a great one. I even said, like, there was a bizarro MVP, like literal MVP. Cordarrelle Patterson for the Falcons and Deebo Samuel for the Niners. Like, what are those teams without those two guys?
It's just because the difference between who's replacing them is so huge.
Yeah.
Todd, is this 3 or 3.5 officially?
3.5 for Dr. Bob,
okay.
On Seattle.
-120, yeah.
All right, Mikey, 2?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Dr. Bob's pick on Buffalo.
Okay.
I agree. I'd rather have Josh Allen.
Are you taking it, though?
Yeah, that's my second pick.
Okay.
Look, he's right to this effect of Josh Allen's ability with his legs is probably going to be the difference here. Also, in wind, he played in more wind conditions. He's used to Orchard Park, played at Wyoming. Mac Jones is a Jacksonville, Florida kid that played at Alabama, right? And he's gotten a little bit of New England, but they really haven't had bad weather in New England so far in the games that he's played at this time of the year. Agree with Bob. Buffalo -2.5.
Dodd? Number 2, Dodd.
I'm going to do something I swore I would never do again, and that is
pick a side.
Bet on Matt Ryan, unfortunately. Matty Ice, he's getting 11 points. I can't stand him. I hate him with a fiery hot passion. But here's the thing. The last time they played, it was a three-point game until two pick sixes at the end. And the Buccaneers aren't exactly, you know, world beaters. I mean, yes, they've blown out some teams like the Bears, the Giants, but there have been other games where they look very pedestrian. They've got a lot of injuries. And I get Atlanta +11 at home. Last year, even, there was a game late in the season where Atlanta was ahead by 17 points and blew the game to Tampa Bay. So their divisional game, they know who this team is. They've hung around with them before. I'm going to hold my nose and type Matty Ice. I can't believe I'm doing it. It's almost as bad as betting on Phillip Rivers. but I'm going to bet on Matty Ice plus the 11. I hate to do it.
Todd, you may hate this more, but I'm with you. Of the big favorites, I've said all week, I go, there's two that I love. It's Minnesota and Indianapolis. But I actually have the audacity to think that Atlanta might take Tampa Bay down to the wire. So I'm not going to add anything in the interest of time, but I'm on Atlanta. I've been talking about it on a numbers game this week. I'm on Atlanta as well as my number two. Bob, you're third.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Indianapolis here. You just mentioned them. I used them in a teaser bet earlier in the week when the line was 8.5 and I could tease them down to below 3. It's up to 10 now. But I just think they crush Houston. I mean, the Colts matched up well here. They averaged 8.1 yards per play against Houston's defense in week 6. Texans are last in the league in yards per attempt allowed on deep passes. And Carson Wentz is in the top 10 in pass attempts of 20 yards or more, air yards or more. So they like to throw it deep. Houston can't stop that. Also, Houston's offense, they've gotten really gun-shy. Tyrod Taylor had 3 interceptions against the Dolphins a few weeks ago. And since then, they've been really trying to run the ball a lot more than 50% of the time. But they can't run the ball. They average only 3.2 yards per run. So they've gotten really gun-shy, and now they're going to their weakness, which is running the ball. So I just think they're completely messed up on offense. Colts should take advantage of the defense, and I favor the Colts by 14 in my ratings. So Colts minus 10 now, unfortunately, but I used them earlier in a parlay. But minus 10 is good.
Let me just step in. That is my number 3 as well. I have the Colts earlier in the week in a teaser, which we'll talk about later. But the Colts, to me, again, from guessing lines, Colts and Vikings were the ones of the big favorites. I'm like, that's not big enough. And so the Colts are my number 3 as well. I bet the Colts this week 40-1 to win the Super Bowl, because I think that's the best bet on the board. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I love that number. I think it's a sneaky great football team. That, by the way, have you watched the in-season Hard Knocks, by the way? I don't usually talk about this, but I talked about this on the numbers game. I haven't talked about the Megapod because I usually like numbers more than anything. But if you watch the in-season Colts Hard Knocks, and if you've watched enough football in your lifetime, there are characteristics of this football team where when you watch it, you become super impressed with that organization, with Frank Reich.
Frank Reich is great. We always know Frank Reich.
Just going to finish the thought. They have a continuity to that football team. They hang out with each other. That if you watch, if you remember great Redskins teams of the past, great Washington football teams of the past, that was what they won Super Bowls doing. It sounds like a quaint bullshit notion, but there are things about, there are elements of this football team where you immediately recognize, you're like, oh, they're a lot more intact than some of these other teams that make stupid decisions in-game, in tight ball games. The Colts will never do that. They've got their best players on offense and defense, Jonathan Taylor, Darius Leonard, are super intelligent guys also. I love the Colts long-term. I love them in this game.
Is Carson Wentz, Doug Williams, or Mark Griffin?
He would be neither. He's the guy you worry about making a horrible mistake in the middle of a playoff.
Yeah,
game.
But you know what? He has mastered the long pass, go for the pass interference.
Yes, he has.
Better than anybody else.
Number 3, Mikey.
Can I ask Dr. Bob a question or two?
Please. I was just time stricken.
Dr. Bob, when you do these situational cover percentages, like what you said in the game with the teams high scoring against decent defense, how many games, or when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligned with Mars, what percentage are you looking for that triggers a bet? Is it 56%, 57%? You quoted like 59% on the first one.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody?
This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Nothing, no situations trigger a bet.
Okay.
A situation might keep me off of something that my math model likes, or it might make me lower the rating on something my math model likes to make it a lesser bet, but I never bet a game based on a situation.
And then my second question is based off
of... I do rate them based on the T score.
My second question...
Not on the win percent.
Thank you, Bob. My second question is based on your college win total over-unders that you did this year.
11-0.
But the fact, like, yeah, at week five, he had already won half of them by week five.
Yeah.
What was your key to being so successful with those this year, Bob, if you could summarize
it? You know what's funny is, you know, I was doing these things, and normally I get, like, 5 to 7 of these that qualify, and I need, historically, I need a 1.2 win differential between my predicted wins and the odds-adjusted market. And this year, I had 24 of them. They went, and I'm like, well, that's odd. Maybe it's the year before, you know, the COVID year, and there weren't a lot of non-conference games, and maybe my algorithms might not are a little off. And so I got really conservative, and I only released 11. They were the 24 were 23-1.
Oh my gosh. Oh
my and I'm like, but I had every reason to doubt that, you know, because normally I have, like I said, 5 to 7 that qualify, and I had 24 that qualified. I went, what the hell's going on here? But as it turns out, my futures were better than they've ever been. I started the season off gangbuster. I think I was 14-1 to start the season on my college plays, and then all the win totals won. So, but I still had reason to doubt it. But, I forget what your question was, but I think the success had to do with my algorithms are just were just better at adjusting for last year's odd season, I think.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, I followed a few of them because he went through them on the numbers game, and it was remarkable. They didn't just win.
They crushed.
They crushed by the either under the total or over total by 2 or 3 games. What do you want? My third pick?
Yes.
I'll go back to the well like Todd says. Look, I think this Miami Dolphins team is better than we get. Give them credit for because the Giants. I mean, yeah, they beat Philadelphia, but are they going to have a +4 turnover margin against Miami? This Miami defense is good. Flores didn't become a bad coach the first 8 weeks of the year, right? And you've got a little continuity now with
it's
Tua.
Turning it around.
So yeah, I'm going to lay the 4 here. Go ahead, Todd, if that's your pick.
Miami's gone from 1-7 to 5-7.
It was going to be my pick, but now I don't know if I want to do it.
And Miami has 2 games in front of them. They could get to 7-7 very easily. Mm-hmm.
Todd? Oh, by the way, Gilly, somebody just walked in. It's Dennis Green. Do you remember Dennis Green, the coach of the Minnesota Vikings?
We
remember
are him? Who they thought we, they
well,
were.
Well, yeah. Dennis Green's cousin.
They are who we thought
Billy,
they were.
Yeah.
Billy Green just walked in.
We don't even get away.
Billy and Dennis, this is, people don't know this. Billy and Dennis were long-lost twins raised by different parents. And Billy was raised here in Pittsburgh. And he just walked in and he told me, the Pittsburgh Steelers are who we thought they were. That Jens killed my whole routine here that I worked up for, Jens. But I'm telling you, the Steelers stink, folks. It's our great organization that taught us the 5 minutes that we thought were just not good. Be very careful, Steelers. That's all.
Todd, because you went crazy, we lost your audio. Yeah. So you're on Baltimore, in other words?
No, I'm not even on the game. I just wanted to tell you about Billy Green.
Okay, what's your pick, Todd?
Todd, I have 5 minutes. Let's get to it.
What's your pick, Todd?
Don't get saucy. My pick was going to be Miami, but I'm not going to do it because I need to bake some ground up against Mr. Michael Pallman. So I'm going to go to the one that I was going to go before that, and that is going to be the under in the Arizona Cardinals game.
Oh, that was going to be my other pick, too.
It was not.
Yes, it was. Not. I gave it out on Odds On yesterday.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That disturbed.
Okay. Bears under.
So the under 40, under 44, I believe, is the is prevailing number. Under 44 in the Bears against Arizona. And the reason I like this is because Arizona's defense is really good. I just don't see the Bears with their struggle on offense, regardless of who plays quarterback. I'd rather see Fields, but even if it's Andy Dalton, I don't see them scoring a lot of points against Arizona. Kyler Murray, also questionable. Who knows what they're going to be, whether they're going to want to really roll out the offensive red carpet. I doubt it. So I just like to see the conservative game plan by Arizona, sort of like how they won against Seattle on the road. Low scoring game, under 40 for Bears Arizona.
All right. There you go. What's the number again? Under what?
44.
Okay. Teaser of the week, 2-leg 6-point teaser.
No, you have to give your third. You have to give your third.
No, I did. It was Indianapolis already.
Oh, Indy's your third. Okay. Yeah. I have Indy minus 10.
Dr. Bob, at Dr. Bob Sports, Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, at drbobsports.com. Pioneer in using predictive modeling to predict NFL and other sports. What is your 2-leg teaser of the week, sir?
Well, now that Indianapolis is more than 8.5, I would go with Minnesota and Arizona.
So Minnesota Vikings down to 1.
Yep.
And what was the other one, Bob?
Arizona down to 1.5.
Arizona Pats.
Todd, mine is Vikings Cowboys.
Minnesota minus 1 and the Cowboys even.
Pick them.
Let's hope that we can get a win from the Saints.
Mine was, I'm already in my account, was Minnesota-Indianapolis, but as Bob said, Indianapolis is no longer in teaser range here, so it's Minnesota and Washington.
Okay, Minnesota and the WFTs up to 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I am not going to go with what you guys have. In fact, I don't know how anyone could bet on Kirk Cousins, but I did it last week on the in-game. I'm going to go with Arizona down to 1.5, minus 1.5. And I'm going to go with my Pats up to 8.5. I'm not going to doubt. I think the Pats may have trouble winning this game, but I also can't see them getting blown out. So give me the Pats plus 8.5 as my second.
Yeah, I like yours better than mine now, actually. All right, final two questions that end every Megapod. And we have a lot of choices for this one. Which is the big favorite most likely to lose outright? Dallas is now a choice in this, I guess. Dallas tonight at New Orleans at 6.5. Minnesota, 7-point favorites at Detroit. Arizona, 7.5-point favorites at Chicago. Tampa Bay, 11-point favorites at Atlanta. Kansas City, 9.5-point favorites at home against Denver. Indianapolis, 10-point favorites on the road against Houston. My goodness. Philly, 7-point favorites on the road at the Jets. Please don't answer that. Everybody's going to answer that. Rams, 13-point favorites at home against Jacksonville. Which is the most likely to lose outright, Bob?
I have all of them winning by 7 or more, and Philly I have winning by 7. So I guess that would be my most likely to lose.
Eagles.
Eagles for me, too.
Yep.
Todd?
Yeah, I could see the Vikings lose.
Oh, stop
Kirk
it.
Cousins.
Okay.
What are you talking about? It's Kirk Cousins.
All right. And then finally, if you lived in a bizarre world and you were forced to bet a side on every single game, but you were allowed one pass, one game that you wanted no part of whatsoever, Bob, that game would be?
Chargers and Bengals.
That's mine. Same. Chargers and Bengals.
No, for me, it's Ravens and Steelers.
Oh, interesting. Dad?
I don't like this game Thursday night, Cowboys and Saints at all.
Okay, Cowboys and Saints. Chargers-Bengals to me, we asked the question on primetime last night, if you only could watch one game this weekend, what would it be? And we came up with Chargers-Bengals. Because that's really a narrative game. If the Chargers win that, your thinking about them changes dramatically in terms of their playoffs. Same thing for the Bengals.
Do you guys still do in-game picks on the night show?
I'm going to that one. Raiders.
Oh, you'll be there.
I'll be there.
Do you guys still do in-game picks on the night show?
Go ahead, Bob.
I said the Chargers could be really good if they could stop someone on third down. I mean, they're so much better than they've played. It's ridiculous how bad they've been on third down defense, and it can't sustain.
They're disgusting on third. Disgusting.
Disgusting on third down. Bob, we
can't continue to be that bad.
Bob, if you will do me, if you come on the show tomorrow, as you always do on Friday, I hope you will. By the way, let's make it 8.
Not after today, Gil.
let's make it 8:30 Mountain if we can tomorrow, if I have the time zones correct. Let's make it 8:25 Mountain, as we say. We have to remember, I want to hear your, for that audience, I want to hear the New England Buffalo thing that you were talking about earlier, that situation.
All right.
Thank you, Mike. Yep. Mike Palm, everybody's got to go do odds on with Amal Shaw. We've got to rehash that. And also the thing about the Chargers and the third down conversions. Because I think, you know, it's the old, our eyes watch one game better than analytics do, but analytics watches every game. And I think those are things that are lost on better. So I think we have to bring those up for sure.
Okay.
Hey, Bob, you do college basketball, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a question about Zach. Can I ask a quick question?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Really?
Okay. So, you know how in the first half of college basketball game, totals are always, you know, 4 to 5 points less than half the total amount, and the second half is always 4 to 5 points more than half of the amount? In Gonzaga games, because they're always blowing them out, there's not going to be usually fouls at the end of the game, which is why the second half is larger, but yet we'll continue to price them as if there
is. It should be less of, it shouldn't be as much lower than half in blowout games. In tight games, they get free throws at the end.
Right. But what I'm saying is,
sliding scale.
Even if it's like 25, if the spread is 25 and the total is 160, they still make the first half 76 and the second half
76
84.
Or 77. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of value there.
I think the first half overs are good, and I've been watching Gonzaga
so
for years now.
Yes,
yeah, so I just wanted to see if you noticed that. One other thing, have you noticed less fouls being called in college basketball this year?
Yeah, I haven't noticed yet. I haven't looked at it too much.
I'd love to know.
Right now, everything I'm doing is based on priors. I start to do the blending next week.
Okay. Keep an eye on that, because I really think, you know, I'm constantly looking at first half statistics, and it seems to me that the fouls are a lot less. There's a lot less games where they're just calling tons of fouls.
Yeah. All right.
Todd Wishnev.
It'll be adjusted for in the model, but I'll take a look.
Todd Wishnev, the most active in-game college basketball bettor I know. Todd, do you stop in January?
No, I started off slow in college basketball, but the last couple of nights I've been crushing.
There you go. Bob?
What'd you say about January?
I said, remember that one year where it turned on you in January? You still play through, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I still ended up winning, but it was a slower win rate toward the end of the year.
All right, Todd. Thank you. Thank you to Mike Palm. Dr. Bob Stoll, everybody, who I messed up in terms of the time zone. So I apologize, Bob. I'm sorry that it was so frustrating. But thank you, as always, my friend. I appreciate it.
I bought a new computer to prepare.
Oh, man.
But I didn't have time to set it up. The problem was. I didn't have time to set up the volume, the microphone. What the problem was.
Well, we have plenty of time before tomorrow on a numbers game, so at least we have it for that.
We'll do it over the phone, the old-fashioned way.
Oh, that's true. You like to look at the notes. All right.
Just put my pretty
good
picture
to talk
up
to you, Bob.
All right, good to talk to you guys.
We'll put your pretty picture up there indeed. Bob Stoll. Todd Wishnev for Mike Palm, Gil Alexander. Thanks for listening. The Megapod, week 13 in the National Football League. Good luck to all.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. we dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters. Every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.